From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business.
If you listen and learn, then you're going to be able to do anything you want in this town.
Everybody thinks show business is really, really all right life. He doesn't crave.
What's with him?
Oh, I'm afraid he's gone Hollywood, Hollywood.
This week on The Business, the creator of Arrested Development, Mitch Hurwitz, on his response to mixed reviews of the new episodes and the challenges of bringing the show back to life. But first, the Hollywood News Banter. Stick around, it's The Business from KCRW.
You can imagine Hollywood, everything is really driven by
making money.
What's with him?
I'm joined by my banter buddy, John Horn of the Los Angeles Times. Hello, John.
Hello, Kim.
So, John, I don't know about you. Some people are big fans of movie trailers. The National Association of Theater Owners has decided that these trailers are too long. They can run 2.5, even sometimes 3 minutes. And the feeling on the part of the theater owners is they give away too much and possibly don't exactly whet the appetite of moviegoers to go and see the movie. And that they are just a problem when you're paying to go see a movie. You sometimes have to sit there through 20 minutes of trailers.
There's another motive here, and that is that theater owners get paid by the studios to run trailers. So if they cut the running time of the trailers, they would theoretically be able to fit more trailers into that allotted space. The other issue is I'm not sure that they give away too much. I mean, you could have a 30-second trailer that will give away everything. So to me, I think it doesn't feel as if that's the real motive. The motive is maximizing the theater returns at a time when box office business is off about 8% compared to a year ago.
Yeah, I think the studios aren't very enthusiastic about this, so this will provide something else for theater owners and studios to fight about. Meanwhile, the studios are going to have to fight it out amongst themselves. We've seen the Memorial Day weekend come and go, a record-breaking weekend, $316 million in box office. But we also saw Universal's Fast and Furious 6 going right up against Warner Brothers' Hangover 3. Weird matchup, many people thought, because going after the same young male demographic. And Warner Brothers' Hangover 3 got hurt in that matchup. And what we see coming down the road for the summer is a lot of gigantic movies rolling into the marketplace and not necessarily that much breathing room, sometimes head-to-head and sometimes just very close to each other.
Yeah, the summer movie season between Memorial Day and Labor Day roughly accounts for 60% of all tickets sold during the year. And as I mentioned earlier, box office is off about 8%. So the summer season is incredibly critical. And obviously in years past, big movies have gone up head-to-head before. The difference now is that the budgets are much higher. You know, $200 million budget used to be unthinkable, and now there's plenty of $200 million movies in the summer season. $100 million movies like Hangover 3, $135 million movie this weekend, After Earth, going up against the second weekend of Fast and the Furious. And if you look down the summer, there are huge clashes virtually every other weekend. And it's inevitable that some of these very big budget movies are going to be demolished.
Yeah. On the other hand, if you like the summer popcorn movie, you're going to have a lot to choose from. Man of Steel from Warner Brothers, Pacific Rim from Warner Brothers, Wolverine from Fox, Lone Ranger, a huge gamble from Disney, and a glut of animated films, too, for the kids.
Yeah, but I mean, you mentioned Lone Ranger. It's coming out on July 5th, opposite Despicable Me 2, which to my mind could be one of the biggest hits of the summer. And then a week later, on July 12th, you have Guillermo del Toro's Pacific Rim opening opposite Adam Sandler's Grown Ups 2. So you have these ridiculous head-to-head clashes. And the studios are trying, and I don't know if they're going to succeed, to get away from them. Disney very recently scheduled movies in the summer of 2018 for some of its Pixar sequels. They don't even know what the movie's going to be. And it certainly hasn't been made, but they're trying to stake out dates now so that other studios won't jump on those dates so they can have the weekend to themselves.
Speaking of competitions of a completely different sort on TV, American Idol, as I think we've discussed in the past, took a terrific hit in the ratings this year. And, you know, it's had a great run. You can't say it hasn't. But it is perceived as the reason behind the departure of Mike Darnell, the head of reality programming at the Fox television network. He's been there for, I think, 18 years and is truly the godfather, for better or for worse, of reality television. Fox has spent 8 years at number one, thanks to American Idol. And this is a big change. It sort of reflects a change in television.
Yeah, and specifically, American Idol was off 40% in the finale from a year ago, and the median age of its viewers is climbing well up into the 50s. And also, I mean, he hasn't been as hot as he has been. I mean, two of his most recent shows, Does Someone Have to Go and Stars in Danger, The High Dive. I know that was your favorite show, Kim.
Love that.
Belly flopped. I think that's the appropriate
Inevitable,
analogy.
Yes.
So certainly his last couple of shows have been fiascos.
Meanwhile, John, our show today is an interview with Mitch Hurwitz, the creator of Arrested Development. And at the same time that Netflix is trying to make its mark with these original shows like House of Cards and Arrested Development, Amazon is finally really trying to get into the original programming game, and they've got a lot of money to spend.
Yeah, they've got five series that they're offering on Amazon Prime, which is their video on demand service, as voted by Amazon customers. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, who knows if people online would have voted for 60 Minutes or even American Idol. So the idea is to let the audience pick which pilots go to series, and Amazon has made its bet, and we'll see how that plays out.
They had put up 14 pilots. They let people vote. They also had some focus groups and did some other research. So it's not purely an audience vote, but they're giving the audience that feeling of interactivity. And there are five winners. We're not clear when these things will come online, but clearly they see this potential that Netflix is tapping into, and they want to play in that space.
Probably the most prominent of the series is one starring John Goodman called Alpha House, which is sounds like a kind of a frat house concept starring Republican senators living together.
Yes, Gary Trudeau of Doonesbury involved in that, and we'll have to wait and see how it turns out. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Kim.
That's John Horn of the Los Angeles Times. You can keep up with us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. My handle is at Kim Masters. John's is at JG Horn, and our producer, Darby Maloney's, is at Darby KCRW. Coming up, how Mitch Hurwitz reassembled the Arrested Development cast, thanks in part to green screen technology. By now, you probably know that Arrested Development, the comedy about the dysfunctional Bluth family, starring Jason Bateman, Michael Cera, Jeffrey Tambor, and more, has been resuscitated on Netflix.
Hey, tell me about the software thing. This is the face block thing you were working on? Is it like Facebook?
No, it's kind of the opposite of Facebook, you know? Facebook connects you with everyone, and this blocks you from everyone.
Oh, I see. Kind of like the anti-social network, right?
That's very good.
You can use it. I don't understand the internet stuff. And you give me all the parts, and you tell me to build a television set, I can bang that out. But, I can't get the right day to display on my calendar.
It's pressed today.
It's been 7 years since Fox canceled the series, despite Emmy wins, critical praise, and a rabid but small fan base. As is the Netflix way, all 15 episodes of Season 4 dropped at once on May 26. Since then, reviews have been mixed, but many fans are as obsessed as ever. While the original Arrested Development was very much an ensemble show, the Netflix version is structured differently. In this new fourth season, each episode primarily focuses on one character, and in another departure from the original, the 15 episodes are somewhat serialized and tell one larger story. When show creator Mitch Hurwitz came to KCRW, he explained to the business producer, Darby Maloney, the reasoning behind these decisions. But first, Hurwitz says he never despaired of bringing Arrested Development back to life, one way or another.
So your first choice was, let's make it as a movie.
Well, but my first choice was, let's make it as a trilogy. Because what happened was,
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious. I had, along with Jim Vallely, who I've worked with on everything.
Another writer, producer.
A wonderful, brilliantly funny writer. And we had always kicked, we've worked on other things together, and we'd kept adding ideas to the Arrested Development bin. So we'd collect these things, and I'd collect these things, and I would spend probably, a lot of nights jotting down ideas. And by the time I sat down with Ron Howard in 2011, I was sort of keenly aware that, wow, this buildup, there's a lot of interest in this. And suddenly that's a lot of pressure on 90 minutes of comedy. And to it all acknowledge that time has passed, which you'd have to do, or as a creator, I'd be in a state of Arrested Development, right? I mean, I had to move forward and evolve, and these characters have gotten older. So part of the story has to be what happened to these people. So when I sat down to look at all the material, it was like, well, if I do this bit about Tobias becoming a music producer, it doesn't quite fit into that other story. And even if I do 5 minutes of it, if I give each character 5 minutes, I'm 45 minutes into the movie and no one's had a conversation yet. So out of that came the idea of, let's see if we can do some sort of webisode. And I said, you know, I was thinking, what if it's like a mini series or this anthology series? And he suddenly said, you know, he reflected on the fact that Ted Sarandos talked to me a month ago and said, how about bringing Arrested Development back
as
a TV show?
That's the chief content officer for Netflix.
Chief content officer for Netflix. Ted Sarandos had called him and said, how about bringing Arrested Development back as a TV show? And Ron dismissed it, as anyone would have, with what was true, which is, I don't think we can get the whole cast to commit to a five-month period of work.
Which is how you would normally do a season of television.
That's right.
Even if they're not in every episode, they're tied up, they're committed
Absolutely.
To your show.
Absolutely.
In that. Right.
So the idea was, what if we took each one of these characters and gave them their own show? And I went, I think Ron was on speakerphone, and I put a little Imagine cap on the speakerphone. So it looked like Ron. And I sat in Ted's office.
A little tuft of strawberry blonde hair.
Exactly. No, but we really did. And then I would like write his name and put it under there. And we were trying not to giggle as we were on this conference call. And immediately I bonded with Ted Sarandos.
So this was you and Ted in the room and Ron was on speaker.
Yes.
Okay.
And
you hadn't yet brought this idea to the cast.
No.
It still was just this. Okay.
Yeah. But I did think it had the best chance of meeting everybody's needs. Because theoretically, I would only need everybody for a week. And I did feel like, well, everyone will do a week. I mean, they'll do a week on somebody else's show. They'll do a week for A Funny or Die. They got to be able to do a week for Arrested Development. And Ted Sarandos is a very impressive guy, and he's a very funny guy. And I just immediately connected with him. We've become close friends. And suddenly, I think because of that friendship more than anything, I started to get inspired truly to like, well, now I don't want to give him just these little 8-minute webisodes of one character. I mean, my ambitions were not that big at that time.
So even in this initial meeting, you hadn't gone beyond this.
No, I just thought, let me see if I can find somebody to help me get this movie off the ground and maybe this will be a way to do it. You know,
it was still the movie. Interesting.
Still the movie, yeah. You know, I mean, this was after about 9 months of everybody negotiating. You know, not the actors, not me, but it was a logistics challenge to try to get, you know, these big companies to do business differently than the way they do. 20th Century Fox owns the show. You know, the thing I thought would stop us is the fact that this is not the business model of 20th Century Fox Television. They're in the business to make 100 episodes of something, not 10 or 15 episodes.
Right.
And we were suddenly in a situation where there was a cart before the horse, before the cart, before the horse. Do you sign the actors first? Well, the actors won't do it without scripts. Well, do I put together a writing staff? Do we start a production office? These things cost a lot of money. Do we start building sets? But we don't know if we have the actors. And everything kept chasing everything. And together, we all sort of said, all right, let's take this risk.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. We're talking with Arrested Development creator Mitch Hurwitz. The show has just returned with 15 new episodes on Netflix. One big challenge in making those episodes was scheduling, mostly because the primary cast and guest stars like Kristen Wiig, Seth Rogen, and Ben Stiller were busy with other commitments.
The question was often asked, well, you've got, sure, you only need Jason for 1 week in August, but you say he's also going to appear in George Senior's and also going to appear in Lindsay's. What if the only time you can get Jeffrey Tambor is in September, and the only time you can get Portia is in December, but Jason's unavailable? And, you know, to my great blessing, they believed me and trusted me when I said, well, then we'll rewrite it.
But you also did something that I thought sounded pretty innovative. For comedy, you used green screen technology. Is that true?
We used a lot of technology. There are 850 effect shots in this show. Because because we couldn't get cast together, but also they're very subtle. You know, we have at one moment Buster is running in a John Kennedy powder blue overcoat and stopping to salute these Marines as he's on his way to his mother's trial. And what nobody has noticed is that there's a giant Queen Mary on its side in the background of the shot. And I think it's what's really, really fun about the show is that there's more than meets the eye. It's designed to kind of get in your head. And that's not for everybody. That really is like for the people that want to have this particular kind of entertainment.
So as a creator, there's a lot of kind of joy and opportunity for play with green screen. But what about for the performers? Is there so it does it sort of does,
well,
that, does that mean they couldn't play off each other if, you know, I mean,
I don't mean to make too much of the green screen because that wasn't really the main kind of effect we did. I think we really only did that about three or four times. Typically, what it would be is we would shoot scenes sometimes months apart that are continuous. And there would be certain effects that we would need to do. You know, we wouldn't have the combination of Jason Bateman and Tony Hale together again, for instance, until 3 months after we shot the scene where Jason Bateman is about to walk up to Tony Hale. So there were all sorts of things we had to do to create a continuity that wasn't there. We just couldn't shoot in order. We couldn't shoot an entire episode. We never did. You know, usually how it works on television is you have 5 days of shooting, and at the end of the 5 days, you've got the material to edit together one show. Maybe you'll owe a scene that you know you're next week you're going to have the ice cream parlor, and so you might as well wait and shoot it. But usually you're done. You just have to edit it. We were never done. We weren't done until 2 months ago when we got Ben Stiller in finally, and we'd left all the holes for Ben Stiller. It was a crazy thing. And any given week, on any given day, our call sheet, which is what the actors use to know what we're shooting, the whole crew uses to know what we're shooting, would say, you know, material here for episode 1, episode 8, episode 15, episode 11, episode 12, and episode 9. So it was just constantly moving forward, 80 days of shooting. It was a massive puzzle. And another thing that the studio had to be willing to let me do is not present them with the first two scripts, then the next two scripts, then the next four scripts.
And by the way, when you say the studio here, are you talking about Netflix?
When I say the studio, I'm referring to 20th, because they are the production entity that makes it, even though Netflix has also got a production arm and they're part of this as well. But I'm sort of going off of the old model of the network and the studio being the banking and creative direction entity, mm-hmm. and the network being the broadcaster.
So in this case, the network is Netflix,
yes.
And the studio is 20th.
The studio is 20th.
And the production company is Imagine, and your company.
Yeah, that reflects people who have ownership of the show usually.
And what about post, when you're delivering all 15 episodes at once?
That's very hard. It's very hard. I mean, it's great. It was great for this because, you know, I could make decisions in post, and Jim Valley was there with me every second, as was Joey Slaman, who's one of our producers. We'd make decisions at every second, which is, well, you know what? This makes more sense in George's show, even though it's when he runs into Lucille. It's really not about Lucille. It's his emotional story. Let's put this scene over here, which means we're going to have to write some voiceover to patch this up. So there was a lot of trading going on. The crazy thing about our post schedule, nothing was tested. Nothing was screened. There was no room for that step. Even
and
Jim
that
Valley
step always exists in broadcast television.
Well, I don't know if it always exists, but it certainly exists with a multi-million-dollar project. We just didn't have the time. I mean, we all would have.
So
loved
it was it. A time issue. It wasn't Netflix has
no,
made
it was a
decision
time issue.
Not to do
I
that.
I never got to see them back to back.
What? Why was it? Because you just had this release date
because
in mind that it had to go up on May 26th?
We had been teasing the audience for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And the initial idea was, well, let's get it out in January 2013. Start your year with Arrested Development. And then it became, all right, March. Start spring with Arrested Development.
If you didn't have a deadline, you could just continue.
I mean, thank God for the deadline.
You need deadlines,
but Mitch. I will say it was something like 60 scenes per show. And even if you only give each scene 2 hours, that's 120 hours per show. It eats up time. And we only had 3.5 months or 4 months to do all this.
Coming up after a short break, Hurwitz speaks to the impact of TV critics and answers the question on the minds of fans. Will there be more Arrested Development? If you want them or if you don't, make a comment at kcrw.com/thebusiness.
Hi, this is Darby Maloney, producer of The Business. Catch up with The Business and lots of film and television news on our Facebook page. Search for KCRW's The Business and click like.
This is The Business and I'm Kim Masters. Original programming, like Arrested Development or House of Cards, is essential to Netflix as it tries to grow into an online competitor to premium cable channels, like HBO. Unlike television networks, however, Netflix doesn't provide ratings data. Over the past week, Netflix CEO Reed Hastings has said Arrested Development, which went live on the site on May 26, has been huge and that fans loved it. But he's remained evasive on numbers. He said Netflix, which now has more than 29 million subscribers in the U.S., prefers to judge the impact of the series over the course of a year or so. Meanwhile, mixed critical response to the new episodes has been blamed by some for a recent 6% drop in the Netflix stock price. But even taking that into account, Netflix stock has more than doubled in value so far this year. The business producer, Darby Maloney, asked Arrested Development creator Mitch Hurwitz about his take on the stock drop, fan reaction, and the critics.
You recently tweeted, "The viewers and the critics have traded places. They're resisting change and you're fighting for it. Wow, thanks."
This is the problem with 140 characters. And I even as soon as I said sent it, I was like, well, that doesn't really tell the story. Because first of all, some critics, and not even the majority of critics, are resisting change. And what I meant by that was two things. One, there was some outrage on behalf of critics that they didn't get advanced copies of the show.
Which they normally do.
This was a different circumstance because, first of all, it had become really clear in the preceding year that what we were telling was a novel as opposed to a bunch of short stories, despite my calling it an anthology. I mean, it really became one. They became chapters. So on the surface, sending out a couple of chapters and saying, what do you think of this book, is not representative of the show. The other just practical problem was I wasn't done editing them. So there was no way we could have put them all out. But the reason it wasn't released ahead of time, besides the ones that I stated, is that Netflix was not interested in a premiere date. In fact, Ted Sarandos didn't even want to put the date on the poster. The fact is, Netflix's business model is about the lifetime of this thing on Netflix, that it can be watched anytime, it can be rewatched anytime, and it's not about opening weekend. And that's going to be to the great advantage of critics eventually and producers, because it allows you to tell stories that aren't trying to be the flashiest thing, aren't trying to just hook them in the first 30 seconds. And it allows critics to take their time and review things when they want, as opposed to what many of these guys had to do is wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, because perhaps their editor told them to, and stay up all night and watch, you know, eat an entire chocolate cake. Again, this is Jim Vallely's thing. He said one of these reviewers, you know, said, "I like chocolate cake, and I had to stay up all night and eat an entire chocolate cake, and Arrested Development made me sick." You know, well, yeah, I agree with that. I think that's
too
much.
Well, I mean, we could go off on the eating metaphor, but it's almost like Netflix says it's available. You can eat it all at once. You could have portion control.
We're not used to this. We're not used to this as a society. I even tried to put out there a couple times beforehand saying, like, you know, I don't think everybody should eat this all at once. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to take in. But, you know, when I said they'd switch places with the fans too, almost, well, at least the ones that have been contacting me, and as I said, I know it's self-selecting on Twitter and that kind of thing, but they've just been embracing what's novel about this. I thought the critics were going to say, all right, somebody is taking this opportunity not to pander, but to really try something new and push the form. And the fans were going to say, well, we don't care about that intellectual stuff. We want the old show. And in a funny way, it's been the other way around.
Well, let me ask something about that. So when you look at how the show is like the way the show was, there are two things that you did that struck me that you didn't have to do. And I want to know why you did them. One is you bleeped words. You don't have to do that on Netflix.
Yeah.
And you also seem to have natural breaks where there would be a commercial.
Yeah.
Now, were those sort of trying to be tonally in sync with the previous seasons? Or are you thinking, well, maybe in the way that the business has changed, this could be sold into syndication in the U.S. or abroad, and it would play on a traditional TV format?
There was some mindfulness of that, you know. But I would say, you know, you don't really throw out all the rules when you try something new. I mean, I've always thought the big secret of Arrested Development is that it's structured the same way the Golden Girls was. That there's
a show you got started on in the business,
yes,
right?
Right. That, mm-hmm. Yes, and where I learned, and you know, and you know, act breaks end with oh no. All the act breaks are that. There's always kind of a block comedy scene in the second act, you know, and they go to the reunion, you know, but she's handcuffed. You know, it follows a lot of the old rules. There's a resolution, that, you know, so it really doesn't throw out all the rules. And I think some of that is either, you could call it my limitations or just my having one foot in the structure of the past, you know. I liked those breaks, almost like if I was writing a book, I'd want not only chapter breaks, but that little weird giant space that happens in the middle of the chapter. I don't know. There's just something nice about telling people, like, exhale.
Take a pause.
Take a pause. And then the bleeps, it just was funnier. I mean, there I could give a more detailed response, but it's just funnier, I think.
Mm-hmm. So Netflix CEO Reed Hastings said he would do more if the cast is up for it, and I assume if you're up for it. Are you guys having those conversations now?
No, not yet. But there is no doubt that the show ends with a lot of things that could continue to be explored. And that is a function of the fact that it was always designed to be the first act of this sort of three-act structure, or the trilogy is what I was trying to make it as a movie trilogy. So without question, I mean, I love these characters and I love these people, and it would be just a privilege to do more of them or to make a movie. But we're not there yet. It's just we've just been done for an hour. Look mm-hmm. how tired I look.
I know.
Yeah.
Now, on the sort of, you know, negative critic side, some people have said, oh, Netflix stock took a dip this week. Is it because of the poor critical reviews?
That was actually kind of amusing, if it wasn't so horrifying. I got a call from Ted Sarandos saying, you didn't see that, did you? And I said, yeah. And he said, yeah, I was so worried you'd see that. He said, you know, I don't know if you follow our stock, but it goes up and down 5% every day. It certainly isn't going down based on reviews in, at that point, two papers. I don't know why the stock went down, but it's none of my business. I know that they, you know, don't discuss numbers, but this is a giant success for them in every one of their metrics. And that's great news, you know, because that really is, that's the first responsibility.
How does Netflix make you guys aware of the numbers? And how is that different from, like, getting ratings information from a network?
They don't. I mean, you know, Reed Hastings says, I'd like to do more. And Ted says to me, wow, this is doing great. And I think he would say to me, well, we're not doing the business we hope we do, if that was the case. And he's very, very effusive and talks in percentages that I won't quote, you know. But that's an interesting thing that's left to be seen in this model, you know, for agents particularly and managers. How do you charge for the services of their clients when you don't know how popular a show is? But that's what negotiation is. It's always been that. Mm. It's something, you're talking about worth. How do you determine worth?
Mitch Hurwitz, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you. Thank you for not making a big deal about the fact that I'm naked, because I really, you guys have been amazing.
Well, I
about
thought
that.
That you would be a never nude, but you're an always nude.
That's why, you know, I came to the studio this way, but again, now I feel like we are making a big deal out of it.
Right. Well, I'm not, you know, you dressed for radio, so.
That's exactly right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Want to see if Hurwitz was really naked in the studio? Go to kcrw.com/thebusiness, where you can also hear an outtake in which Hurwitz explains the truth behind the rumor that Michael Cera once refused to participate in an Arrested Development movie. And that's The Business. Darby Maloney produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna. You can listen to us anytime on demand with the KCRW smartphone app and find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. The show is produced and distributed by KCRW. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.